Well, are you feeling blessed today? Hallelujah. Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is working in your life and that God is doing amazing things, because it's the work of God. It's the Spirit of God that enables us. And during challenging and difficult times, we need to know that it is God who fights for us. God is our cover. He makes a way for us. This is real, folks. This is not just religious, playing church, kind of like going through emotions, just having faith and believing something. This is dealing with the reality of God and following the principles of his word so that we can learn, so that we can grow, and so that we can experience the things that we see in the word of God. We want to see and experience all of the good things that God has for us. We know that you're going to experience pretty much anything and everything the word of God has to say in one way or another. Either you'll experience the good stuff, or you're going to experience the bad stuff. And so it's one or the other, and a mix of the two. There's this combination as we are striving to apply biblical principles. But the awesome thing about serving God is that God wants us to win. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to overcome. And that is the purpose of the Word of God, so that we can learn and apply the principles that he has given us, not just for the sake of trying to do things in a religious way, but God designed the earth. He designed the heavens. He designed all of creation. Everything we know was designed by God, and Satan came in and spoiled it. And God knows how things work. He understands the principles of the way things work. And so he's given us the word of God so that we can apply these truths in our life and navigate through the snares, these challenges that Satan is trying to use against us, so that we can experience life differently than people who do not follow God's principles or God's ways. So when we apply these principles and we apply the word of God in our lives, we have a different experience in life than people who do not. And that's the awesomeness of serving God. That's where the blessings come from. They come through obedience to God and his word. And it's not about any other thing other than following God. And when you're going through a dark place in life, and life is dark anyway, you need the light of God to guide us, because God can see. And his Holy Spirit is here to speak to us, to bring things back to our remembrance so that we can hear and follow him. And as we do, our experience in life changes. We all are going to face challenges and difficulties. There's evil all around us. There's no escaping the evil, but we can overcome it, and we can navigate around it, and God can make us to succeed even when it seems like it's not going to work out. And so that's what's so awesome about serving the Lord. And we have the tools of divine resources, like the word of God and like prayer and worship and several other things that God has given us that we can apply in our daily lives that will enable us to be victorious in life overall. And I love that testimony that Pastor Raphael shared about being able to persevere in God so that his fruitfulness can shine through in our lives. And we are the best at anything as the people of God. As a child of God, you have the potential to be better than anyone, because the Spirit of God is within you to rise up and give you the strength that you need in order to do what you do better than anyone. And what Satan tries to do is to rob you of that understanding, so that you quit and don't even put the effort in. But if you can grab onto this, it will change your life. And if you can shake off all of the negative thoughts and all of the things that are chaotic in your mind, you will overcome and succeed in whatever you put your hands to do. And this is a fact, and it's true, and God has called us to be witnesses of these things. And I tell you, there is nothing that is impossible for God. And so I would like to begin today in our lead verse in Psalm 80, verse 2. And it says, "Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your power and come to save us." Hallelujah. And so here is God with power to save. And the request is for God to stir it up. And I would submit to you today that God wants to stir up his power in your life. God wants to do something powerful and amazing in your life. And just like he did with Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, who were the sons of Joseph, right? Do you remember them? Remember Joseph? And just what God did for that family, that lineage, God is able to do it for you and your family and your lineage. And when we are faithful to God the way they were faithful to God, the way Joseph was faithful to God, we will see the power of God manifested in our lives. And it's worth the effort because it is awesome when God comes through. And who doesn't want God to come through when we ask? But we need God to stir up his power in our lives. So I'd like to use as a theme today, not shaken, but stirred. Not shaken, but stirred. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would wash us and cleanse us, Lord, from every hindering thing that may be in our life, anything that is contrary to what it is that you would ask us to do or have us to do, and that we would be strengthened by your Holy Spirit. Enable us to hear and understand the words of the Lord, and that even as I am speaking, God, I'm asking that you would touch the hearing of your people, so that they would not hear my voice, but the voice of the Spirit of God. And that you would be able to minister to them and breathe life into them, that they may have the resources of heaven and of God to overcome whatever circumstances they find themselves in. We rebuke the devourer and every hindering spirit that would work against the workings of God in our lives, and that the Spirit of the Lord would prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you and I are people who have been called by the name of the Lord. And God is looking for us to work through us so that we can be examples to the world, to people who don't know God or who don't follow God. God wants to use us for his own glory. And as we go through life, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have challenges and difficulties. And so we can expect that, and that's okay. It's only okay, though, when we understand that God goes before us. And if God goes before us, then that makes it easier for us to understand that whatever is coming our way had to go through God first. And once we understand that, we can have confidence as we move forward in our lives, as we live our lives each day. There is a stirring that is going on in the world. There's a shaking that's going on in the world. And God is looking to manifest himself, to use us as the image of his glory, as the people that reflect the kingdom of God, even Christ himself. And so that is who we are, the children of God. We reflect our Heavenly Father, and his image is imprinted within us. And we are his, and he is ours. And together, we are able to overcome in this world. In fact, we are given eternal life, even as God is eternal. And so as a result, you and I can confidently say, when we apply biblical principles in our life, that though the world is shaking, we're not shaken, even though we may be stirred. And so what we are talking about when we say stirred but not shaken, we're saying that there is a stirring. Are you familiar with the art of mixing drinks? Very good. That's a good sign. That's a good sign that you are not skilled in this. And what happens is when you're mixing drinks, they are is commonly used, one of the tools is known as a shaker. And a shaker is where you put ice and you mix usually thick and heavy, weighty components of liquid in with the ice and alcohol and all the other things. And sometimes they do it with non-alcoholic drinks as well, not just alcohol. And then you put it in this shaker with a cap. You've probably seen it, and you've probably seen bartenders doing this, right? Shaking the glass or shaking the container. And that is what they call shaken, so that they are mixing the drink so that the ice breaks up inside the container. Now, what that does is that adds air and it adds water to the mix. It waters it down. It thins it out. And so it becomes thin and watered down. And you and I are Christian people who are born of the Spirit of God, and the world is trying to shake us in order to thin us out and water us down. And the enemy is doing this so that we can lose our effectiveness as the people of God. He is trying to render us weak and incapable of overcoming, of standing against the strategies of the enemy, the Word of God would say. And so you and I, we're in the world and we're being stirred, but we ought not be shaken. We are not to be watered down. We are not to be turned cold. The shaking cools the drink a lot faster and a lot easier than stirring. And so the devil wants to shake you up. He wants to shake you up so that you operate in the wrong spirit, so that you operate in fear and in anxiety, so that you find yourself weak and just giving in to whatever it is that he's trying to get you to fall for in life. And we have to have wisdom from God in order to avoid being shaken. We need our minds renewed. The stirring process is a little gentler, and usually it's used when you have powerful components, strong components that you want to be tasted or experienced, to come out. And so the ice is there to be stirred, and all of the other components are there to be stirred so that they're able to maintain their potency, yet chilled just enough to make it palatable so that you can experience all of its effect, the full effect. And that is why you want it stirred and not shaken. And I know James Bond, he wants his drinks shaken and not stirred, isn't that right? And so he wants his stuff thin it out just a little bit because he doesn't know what he's going to run into when he's done, right? So you got to be ready. But nevertheless, God says, I want you to be stirred as the people of God so that you can maintain your potency and the power and the strength of God that's been placed within you, so that you can have wisdom and overcome the strategies of the enemy, so that you will not be easily deceived, but you would be able to recognize what's going on and make the right choices, divine choices, so that you can live and experience a victorious, God-filled life. Hallelujah. This is why we are stirred, but we're not shaken. We're not shaken, but stirred. And God wants us to experience the image of his glory, to reflect the glory of God. And so I'm going to begin here in Proverbs 19, verse 11. And it says, a man's discretion, and the word for discretion is the word insight or intelligence. makes him slow to anger. In other words, an intelligent person, one who has insight, is not easily angered, is not made angry very easily. And obviously, if you think about this, the opposite would be true of a person who is easily angered. That means they lack insight, or they lack discretion. They lack intelligence, you can say. And so we want to be slow to anger because we have insight. We have understanding as to what is going on. Whenever the spirit of anger shows up, you know it is a tool of Satan to try to water you down and cause you to respond and react in a way that will rob you of the glory of God, or God being glorified. And it says, and it is his glory, that is the person who has discretion, to overlook a transgression. In other words, when someone does you wrong, when something happens to you that is not what you would like to happen, you're able to be slow to anger. You're able to say, I'm not going to let it get me. You're going to overlook. I'm just going to let it go, and I'm just going to move on. I am going to allow this anger to move away, and I'm not going to respond or get the anger to cause me to react in a way that robs me of my glory. And you and I ought to want to live in a way where we're reflecting the glory of God. Your glory is a reflection of the working of God in your life. And so anger, if you're slow to anger, it puts you in a position where you can have insight. You can think about it. You could say, what is going on here? What's the cause of this? Is it worth it? And how should I respond? Can I respond in a way that honors the Lord? And so the word here that we're looking at for glory is the word tipeira. And that comes from the root word payar. And it means to beautify. In other words, we make things beautiful. In other words, a spirit of anger comes against you, and you take it and you stir it and you make it beautiful. Hallelujah. You turn it into something that is actually beneficial. You bring honor out of it. Honor comes out of it. And you are able to impart that to someone else. And so even the one who is making you upset or making you angry, you could turn the situation around and have the glory of God come back on them. And all of a sudden, they feel like they realize they did the wrong thing. They become more repentant. Well, they'll certainly realize they can't get you because there is a spirit behind it. And so God enables you to have a superior position or place in the situation because that spirit that is being imparted to you cannot overtake you. You're able to stand against it and resist it. You will not be shaken. You might be stirred, but you're not shaken. You're stirred in God because of divine insight and the reflection of the glory of God. In Proverbs 29:22, he says, an angry man stirs up strife. That's the word gara in the Hebrew. And it means to stir up strife. This is actually a direct translation. And it says, a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. When you're easily upset, when you're easily angered, you're always going to be having problems. You're going to abound. You'll have never-ending issues, never-ending problems if anger can always get the best of you or easily get the best of you. And so God says you should not operate in anger. You don't respond in anger. We all get angry at different times, but we do not sin. The word of God says, don't sin. In other words, don't respond in a way that anger is trying to draw you into, or the way that type of response. Resist it. Fight against it. Don't allow it to overcome in your life. In other words, resist the spirit of gara. Don't allow gara to get a hold of you so that you find yourself misrepresenting God and failing to experience his glory, the working of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything robbing me of the glory of God in my life, the presence of God in my life. I want God to be manifested in a powerful way, and I want to do everything I can to reflect the righteousness of God so that I can have a divine life experience in God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 80, verse 2 says, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your power. Now, this word again, stir up, is the word And these are the two most common words in the Old Testament that are talking about stirring up. And there are two sources of stirring up. One is of God and one is of Satan. Satan tries to stir you up in a gara manner in order to get you to respond contrary to the way God would have you to respond. And so you find yourself acting in a way that misrepresents the kingdom of God, which means you're in a different spirit. You're not in the spirit of God. You're not in his presence. Now you're in a presence that really is a spirit of darkness. And so that binds you and it renders you powerless. It waters you down so that you are misrepresenting God. So if you're trying to help someone get closer to God and you're trying to help them to have a relationship with Jesus, you have just now watered down your ability and your impact in that person's life. Your ability to be a witness to them and a testimony to them has now been greatly reduced. It's been hindered because you're misrepresenting God. And the only way to fix that is for you to apologize, right? To repent from what you said. And sometimes we have to apologize to sinners, to people who don't know God, because we responded or reacted the wrong way. Have you ever had to apologize? It's liberating, isn't it? It is liberating. You always feel good. You feel bad at first. You're like, I don't want to apologize. I want to, no. You know, they deserved it, right? You know, you want to give it to them. But if you can get past that, if you can say, God, stir up your power in me so that I can forgive, when you are released from that oppression, that spirit of gara that's holding you and keeping you from saying you're sorry, then you will be able to overcome. And that is the spirit of we'll call it. That is the word in the Old Testament. The word it means that God's power is stirring you up so that you can be liberated, so that you can be set free. And that's what we want in our lives. We want God to bring out the power, to stir up the power of God, the of God that liberates and sets us free, so that we can overcome obstacles, so that we can operate in wisdom and understanding, so that we can have insights in the things of God. And so in these two passages, we see the difference between the word which is to arouse yourself, to wake yourself up. In other words, to snap yourself out of it. And then the word gara, which is the one who stirs up strife. It literally means to cause you to engage in conflict. Somebody who is trying to pressure you to have conflict or to draw you in to a state of conflict, to engage in strife. There are people who are like this. You know people like this, where you know whenever they come around, you're like, oh boy. What are they going to say now? What's going on? What? You know, because they're so caught up in stuff that they don't know the right thing to say. They don't know when to be quiet. They don't know what they shouldn't say. And the things they should say, they don't seem to say it in the way they should say it. It comes out in some way that no matter what they do, it creates conflict or strife. It brings oppression into you. It causes you to be like, oh, and you just want to get away from them. You ever been around people like that? You just want to get away from them. Well, that is the word gara, and that is something that we want to avoid. We don't want to be under that influence of gara, and we don't want to be around people who have a mindset of gara. The gara mindset is what causes trouble. It brings in confusion and chaos. It causes people to separate rather than come together. It is the spirit of the word that enables you and I to wake ourselves up. We snap out of it. When we feel it coming on us, when somebody is putting it on you, trying to get you to get caught up in it, we ourselves. And we're able to awake ourselves to realize, whoa, no. This will not overtake me. This will not get me. I'm going to say, God, stir up your strength and your power within me so that I can overcome this gara. And I can be aroused in God. God will wake you up. He will snap you out of it so that you can operate in the wisdom of God, so that the Spirit of God can tell you what to say, what to do, or how to do what you need to do. And God will give you that when you're communing with God, when you have a relationship with God. He is there with us. He makes all of these things to come to life. In 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, it says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up." And this is in the Greek. This is written in Greek. And the word is digero. And digero is the same as the word And here is the writer writing, and he's stirring up godliness, a godly response, a godly awakening, if you will. And he covers our minds. He says, "Your sincere mind by way of reminder." Every time we're reminded of the word of God, it's a way of waking up. We're bringing it back to our remembrance. Because as life goes on and things are happening, you're not thinking Bible scriptures all day long, are you? You know, no, you're probably working, you're doing different things that you're doing. And, you know, every once in a while, maybe, as you go along, a scripture might come to mind, and that's a beautiful thing. But a lot of times as we're doing what we're doing, we're focused on what we're doing, and we get caught off guard. Somebody shows up and says something or does something, and it's irritating, it's aggravating, it upsets you, it causes you to be offended and hurt. And so you respond out of that experience that you're having. God says, no, yourself, or digero yourself, so that you can wake up. Instead of responding, he says, wake up first, snap out of it first, and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Say, God, deliver me. God, save me. Lord, help me. Give me what to say. Give me what to do. And so we pull back and we look to God and we say, Lord, help us. And the Spirit of God will bring something to your memory. God will remind you of something. He will give you something that you already know to do that may seem elementary when you don't need it. But when you do need it, you don't think of it, so you find yourself in the ditch. And so this is the way to have it come back to you when you need it. And God will give you the recall that you need. And this way you will be able to overcome. This is what he's talking about. He says, I'm writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. In other words, the part of your mind that you really are holding on to, your trust in God, your belief in the Lord, your genuine love for God. I want to stir that up and bring it from the back of your mind, deep in the lost part somewhere that you can't remember. I'm bringing it to the front, to your frontal cortex, so that you can recall it. And now it will move. When the word of God comes to your mind, there's power in it. There's power in it. And it will quicken you, and it will give you what to do and what to say. And all of a sudden, that spirit that's over you will go, phew. It will fragment and break up. now you have the ability to choose more wisely. And you're able to respond in a way that the Holy Spirit will give you. And if you continue to talk to God as you're dealing with that situation in that moment, you will be able to overcome whatever it is. And this is a skill set that God has given us to learn so that we can apply this in our lives so that we will not be shaken. Hallelujah. So that we are not shaken. And so he goes on in verse 2 that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So in other words, he's saying, I want to remind you of everything that Jesus said and did. I want to quicken you so that in those times, in those moments of difficulty, you can snap out of it and you can experience renewal in that moment, in those situations, and overcome. And so he says even to Titus, here Paul says to Titus in verse 9 of chapter 3, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. And we can apply the issues of today in there, right? There's all kinds of things that everybody has an opinion about. It doesn't matter whether it's coronavirus or whether it's politics or whatever. People have an opinion about everything. And if you start to get caught up in the wrong conversation, it will stir up strife and controversies. And it will enable you to find yourself in a place of dispute. And it's unprofitable and it's worthless. It's unprofitable and it's worthless. And so we have to be able to discern and recognize these kinds of situations when they come so that we can avoid them and bring liberty, so that we can establish an atmosphere of freedom and the presence of God, even the workings of God, and we can help people come closer to God. And when they do, God will make a way for us. God will make a way for you. He'll make a way for you even through this whole coronavirus thing. God is making a way for his people. And it doesn't matter what's going on and what people are doing. God, when we focus and we look to him, God will sustain you. He will navigate you through the challenges and the difficulties that you're facing. And he will give you the wisdom that you need so that you can overcome. And when you stand in the ways of the Lord that he has given you according to his word and the principles of God, God will fight for you. He will fight for you. And you will experience challenges and difficulties. There's no question about that. But you will not stand alone. God will be with you. And so we avoid these foolish conversations. He says to reject a factious man after the first and second warning. In other words, you get three chances. He says, if you find somebody is stirring up contention, stirring up issues and problems, and every time you come to them, you try to talk to them about it, and you say, you know what, I don't think you should be talking about that person, or you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't be saying that kind of thing. I don't think this is beneficial or appropriate. We should leave this alone. And they keep coming back, and they keep coming around. Well, God says, reject them. In other words, get away from them. Move away from them. Cast them aside. And we have to learn how to not entertain people whose conversation is designed to bring contention and bring issues and bring us down. We have to learn how to get away from people like that so that we can be effective at representing the kingdom of God and that we can see the manifestations of God. Because no matter what happens, God wins in the end. Just in case you didn't read the end of the book. God wins in the end. When your faith is in Christ, you will be victorious. It doesn't matter anything else. Christ will see you through. You shall be victorious. You will overcome. Verse 11 says, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. And so if we're operating in this mentality, this spirit that of contention and chaos and confusion, we're condemning ourselves. we are putting ourselves in a place where Satan has the best of our life. He is going to drain us. He is going to water us down. He renders us ineffective and unable to be the ambassadors that Christ has called us to be. And this is what Satan is looking to accomplish in our lives. But we have the power of God available to us so that we can resist him. You've read in the scripture, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, this is how you resist. God raises up his standard against the enemy. And when you apply biblical standards in your life, Satan is rendered to no effect. He is watered down himself. He tries to hinder you, but he himself becomes hindered when you make a stand. This is why it's always dangerous when people compromise and try to put their God-understood values aside in order to appease other people. That never works out in your favor because you water yourself down in order to give them strength, and they will just continue to rise up, and eventually they will wipe you out so that you have nothing left. And that is essentially what happens to Christians all the time. And that is why God says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, right? Ephesians 6. And you have the armor of God and all the strength and the resources and tools of God, because we as the people of God have to learn how to stand against the strategies of the enemy. And these are the strategies of God so that we can stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, as we look at 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 2, verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, argumentative, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Now, this is just the first half of this statement, but this is powerful right here. And so, you and I are the Lord's bondservant. A couple of days ago, I guess maybe it was about a week ago, somebody asked me, what is the bondservant? And maybe it was Monday night we were talking about this. And the bondservant is someone who was paying off a debt, was working off a debt. And so they became slaves or servants to the one who they were in debt to. And so after the debt was paid, they decided that they enjoyed being there with the person that they were serving with, and the position was offered to them to stay, and so they decide to stay. They choose to continue to stay and serve and work and do the job, whatever it was that they were doing. And so a bondservant is someone who chooses to stay when they have the choice to leave. And so they choose to stay and serve. And this is who we are in Christ. Christ has set us free. But not just set us free so we can go do whatever we want, but now we're free to serve God. We're free to come back. We say, Lord, we appreciate all that you've done for us. You have made a way for us. You have healed us. You've delivered us. You've set us free. You've renewed our mind. You've strengthened us. You actually provide for us. You enable us to overcome. You give us understanding and perception so that we can see and learn and perceive. And so now we're able to experience life on a whole different level. And God, where are we going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with the Lord. I'm going to stay with you. Lord, we will stay. That is the bondservant's mindset. The bondservant chooses to stay even though he can leave. And so the bondservant must not be quarrelsome. In other words, don't let it get you. Don't let people draw you into an argument. Husbands, wives, don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Don't do it to each other. Don't let your kids get you into it. Don't allow anyone or anything on your job. Don't let anyone get you into it. Wherever you find yourself, relatives, I know they're good at this too, right? Don't let them get you. Don't let them drag you in to an argument, into chaos and confusion, into a whole thing that's going to just stir up strife. Avoid it. Bring it down. We must be kind to all. We must be able to teach. We must be patient when wronged. This is what God is doing. He'll give you a strategy so you can educate somebody. You see somebody's doing something, they're wronging you, all you have to do is educate them on how they're wronging you. Be careful now, because you want to make sure they'll receive what you have to say. So you have to have a strategy to do that. And that's why we pray. We pull back and say, all right, God, give me wisdom, please. Help me, Lord, so I know how to say it. And God will give you insight. And your insight, your discretion, will enable you to avoid the gara, that spirit that's going to take you in the wrong place. And so you'll be able to overcome. And so he says, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Wow, that's powerful. Let's read that again. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, in perhaps, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And so this is where insight comes in and discretion. Because when you see somebody who's drawn into a mindset of argumentativeness, you know Satan has them, right? You know Satan's got a hold of their mind. They're locked into there's a spirit that comes over them, and they're able to argue, and they want to argue. And you ever notice people who want to argue when you can't say, let's pray, right? When the spirit of this demonic spirit is on a person, you'll say, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Let's wrong. You know, let's just pray. They're going to say, no, I'm not trying to pray now. They're not going to want to pray because there's a spirit on them. There's a spirit that comes over people. I'm talking about the best of Christians. There's a spirit that comes over them, and they will find themselves under the control of the devil. Satan will have them because they want to win the argument. They want to make their point known. They want to impart. You can say, yes, I understand. I get it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And they're going to say, well, what is it that you don't get? What is it that you did wrong? And they want to keep the exchange going so that they can keep dragging you in. Oh, I just want to make sure you get, right? And there's all the, you know, no, you want to keep the spirit alive, because that demonic spirit has a hold, and he's fighting for his ability to have the control in your life, in your situation, because if you can't overcome him, he will keep coming back. He will stay with you. And you'll find yourself always wanting to engage in battle. And so God says, don't let that spirit get you. Don't let him get you. Don't fall for this. You need to escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will, Satan's will. Don't let Satan get you. Whoever's will you obey, that's whose servant you are. And we obey the word of the Lord and the principles of God because we're the children of God. We are servants of the Lord. We are bond servants, and we must not be quarrelsome. We are looking to establish the presence of God, the glory of God. We are free from the oppression and the bondage. And so Paul goes on here in verse 5. He says of 2 Timothy 1, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Isn't that awesome? So when you're praying for your children, when you're raising them up in the ways of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, you're helping them to learn the principles of God, and you're imparting the truths of God into their lives, it goes in them, and it stirs up within them, and it takes root. And the word of God says it will not return void. When you're ministering and you're sowing into your family, that is the goodness of God being instilled into your children. Notice here he says, your grandmother had it. Your mother had it. Then guess what? You probably have it too. I'm sure you have it within you, because you're coming out of a lineage of God-likeness. And that means you have the potential in you to be stirred up for the things of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Oh, saints of God, don't give up imparting into your family, into your children, into your grandchildren, into the people around you. Be an influence for the sake of the kingdom of God. You're imparting the power of God into them. And it is seeping in, and it is being stirred. It's being stirred. It's not being shaken. It's being stirred. And the ingredients are staying strong. They're holding their intrinsic value. And you're able to experience the glory and the power of God. Verse 6 says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." In other words, you guys are probably familiar with this in King James. He says, "Stir up the gift of God that is within you," right? I'm sure you've heard that. And saints of God, God wants us to be stirred up afresh, kindled afresh. Let's reignite the fire for God. Let's reignite the principles of God in your life. It's never too late to come alive again in God. And just as people laid hands, they prayed for you. They prayed over you. That's important because whenever people touch you, they're imparting what they have to you. Whatever they got, whoever they are, whatever spirit they are operating under, they're imparting that to you. That's why you don't let anybody put your hands on you. You just don't let people touch you. You don't let people, just random people, pray for you. Okay, you can pray, but, you know, stand back a little bit, right? You can pray, but, you know, because you don't know, especially if you don't know. But if you know that somebody's operating in the right spirit and there is the strengthening from God that's being imparted to them, it will transform their life. I was in ShopRite a couple of days ago, I guess earlier this week, and I was in line, and I was talking to the cashier, and she was telling me her story about some of the challenges and difficulties that she was facing in her life. And so as she began to tell me, her face turned bright red, and she was so hurt and upset and broken. She was crying. She had tears that were coming down on the sides of her eyes, and I could feel the weight and the oppression of what she was talking about. It was so much of a burden with her that she was talking about it to customers, right, coming through the lane, right? So it was a heavy burden. And so after I got all my stuff, the Spirit of God said to me, "Pray for her. Pray for her." And so, you know, you always feel weird when you're out there like that. You know, it's like, "Hey, I'm in ShopRite, Lord. Yeah, I got here with a bag of groceries and But I knew that was the devil. He was trying to get me to be watered down. He's trying to be watered down. "You a pastor? You can't pray for me. What are you scared of?" Well, God says, "Don't be watered down." The Spirit of God really pressed on me to pray. And so I said to her, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" I said, because I really believe that God wants to do something in your life and in your situation. And she said, "Yes." She said, "Absolutely." And so she came out from behind the cash register, you know, where they put the bags in, you know, I'm standing down there with my cart and stuff. And there's other people there, some other cashiers and people there all standing there watching. So I said, "Devil, you're a liar." I laid hands. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I said, Father, I pray, I rebuke the devourer. I brought down every foul spirit that was working around her and over her. And I prayed that the Spirit of God would give her liberty and peace and would turn her situation around, and that she would have a new life experience, and that she would experience God." And I don't know, whatever else the Lord had given me to pray. But when I was finished praying, I could see her color came back in her face. And all of a sudden, the peace of God came over her, and she thanked me. She hugged me, held on to me like one of you. I was like, "Praise God!" I knew that was the Lord. Hallelujah! And she was changed. She was changed. And I just prayed continually that God would minister to her and would draw her closer to Him, and that she would have a divine experience in God, and that she would come to know Him in the pardon of her sins, and that she would be made new in Christ. And so continue to pray for her if you think of it, and allow God to use people. And God wants to use you in the same way. Believe me, I don't feel any different than you when these things happen. And so, you know, because it's the same spirit. We're all fighting the same spirit. So, you know, we have to learn how to rise up and shake these things off. We got to kindle afresh the gift of God that's within us. Christ has gifted us with himself, with his spirit. And we have his word that comes alive. And the spirit of God will bring it to your remembrance. And he will enable you to overcome. And God will manifest himself in your life. In verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind," or discipline, as it says. And so you and I, we have this resource of the Spirit of God. We have the power of God. It's been given to us already. If you've received Christ, you have the tool of the Spirit of God that you need so that you can overcome. God wants to make you victorious. He wants you to be able to overcome every strategy of the enemy. Verse 10 says, in 1 John 3, he says, "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious." Think about that now. The children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. In other words, when we don't respond out of love in our interactions with each other, we can't say that we're of God. God is calling us to operate in the strength of God, in the power of God. We are the children of God. Even Jesus, he cried out to God. He cried out, the word of God says, "Abba, Father." Isn't that right? Do you remember on the cross? Abba, Father. And so you and I have a relationship with God. What does Abba mean? It means daddy. It's a term of endearment. It means daddy, Father, is what he was actually saying. Who is your daddy? That's the question. We know who Luke Skywalker's daddy is, right? But who is your daddy, right? Who is your daddy? And so we need to know that God is our father. God is our daddy. Luke. God is our father. And when we obey the word of God and the will of God, it's obvious. It becomes obvious. When you love God, when you obey him, when you apply his principles, when you practice the righteousness of God, it doesn't say you get it perfect every time. It says you practice, right? The reason you practice is so eventually you get it right. And one day we will become like Jesus. The key is not to be, I got it all together, I'm all right. No, I'm practicing. I'm working on it. I'm trying to make it happen. And I have that desire in my heart. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If you're not a child of God, it won't bother you. You can do anything and you don't care. No, you know, that doesn't faze you. But when you belong to God, man, you keep trying. You keep trying and you never give up because God is with you. He will enable you to overcome. The children of the devil, they're obvious. But you and I, we are the people of God. We are the children of God. God is our daddy. He is our father. And when you have a daddy is different than a father, isn't that right? You can have a baby daddy. That's the same as a father, right? That means he just seated you in. But when you have a daddy, an Abba daddy, that means he's taking care of you. He's not deadbeat dad. He's the dad who's taking care of you. He's providing for you. He's watching over you. He is there. When you hurt, you can say, "Oh, daddy." He can say, "Oh, come here." And he'll come. And he will be there for you. He watches over you. He guards you. He protects you. He gives you direction. He corrects you when you're wrong. When you do something you shouldn't do, he says, "Nah, you shouldn't have did that." You say, "Oh, I hurt myself." He says, "Well, you shouldn't have did that then." Right? Hallelujah. And God gives you direction and he will speak to you and he helps us and he brings us and draws us closer to himself. And that enables us to experience the love of God. And we walk with God, we commune with God, and he does beautiful things in our life. So in Acts 13:21, it says, "Then they asked for a king." given the history of the Israelites here, and he says, God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, God removed Saul, if you remember the story, and he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he has testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. And this, saints of God, is the final point, that God is looking for people who have a heart like David. How do you know if you have a heart like David? You're willing to practice. You're willing to do all the will of God. Your desire is to do the will of God. David, the difference between David and Saul is that Saul didn't want to do what God asked him to do. He didn't have patience. He didn't want to wait on God. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do whenever he felt he needed to do it. And God would try to rein him in, try to give him direction and correction, and he was hard-pressed to hear it. And so David, he did whatever God asked him to do. Oh, David made mistakes. We all know that. David fell short, just like we all fall short, and he did things he shouldn't have done. Terrible things, worse things than you and I would have ever done, I think. But nevertheless, he had a heart of repentance, and he confessed his sin, and he was forgiven, and he was looking to do the will of God, so much so that God says, he will do all my will. David will do all my will. Can God say that about you? Can he say that about us? I want God to say that about me. He made his mistakes, but good Lord, at least he did what I asked him to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You can forgive your child if they do what you tell them to do. Isn't that right? They may have their issues and their problems, but you know what? When it comes down to it, they did what they were told. They did what they were supposed to do. You can work with that. But when you got a kid who's like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do something else. You know, No. The heck with you. I'm out. Right? That's the kid that you kick him to the curb. Isn't that right? That dude is out. You're like, I'm not doing anything for you. Right? Why? Because you're disobedient. But when you obey the will of God, God, he will scoop you up. He will give you what you need. He will prove. Why? Because you're my child. Hallelujah. You are my child. Why? Because you do what I ask you to do. Somebody else must be your daddy because you're not doing what I tell you. So somebody else must have brought you in here. You know, you're testifying to that yourself. You don't listen to me, so let somebody else take care of you. Well, I don't know if we can do that, right? We have the heart of God. We still have compassion. But I tell you, it puts us in that position. So what are we talking about here today? Oh, we're talking about the kabod of God. That's what we talked about last week, having God's praise, his honors, his riches, his brilliant splendor has all been provided for us. God is his glory, and all that he is available to us. And he wants that to rule and reign in our lives. It's the doxa of God. It brings us to a place of deep reflection so that we can come to a good opinion. We can see things in a positive light, in a positive way, and so that we would be able to determine whether something has value, what its worth is. Should I hold on to this and allow it to benefit my life, or is this going to hinder me and bring me down, cause me to look down instead of looking up so that I miss God? And so I need to be able to recognize all these things. I need to be able to recognize the gara when it comes at me, and that spirit that stirs up strife to try to draw me into a conflict. I got to be able to recognize that so that I can overcome it by arousing myself, by stirring myself up in God, saying, God, help me. I can call upon the name of the Lord. I can myself in the Lord and bring out the awakening of the principles of God in his word so that I can have a tip ara experience or a payar experience that enables me to see the beauty of God in things, or to bring out the best in my situation, and circumstances can be transformed and turned around, that we would be able to help each other to come to a superior place, a place of strength, a superior in the sense that we're in a better place than we would be if we give in to the gara, or we fail to give God the honor and the praise, or we don't think about what we're going to do before we do it and take the wrong action so that we find ourselves misrepresenting God. We need the tip ara of God and the payar of God to be working in us so that we can have a divine experience. And that's why at the end, Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Hallelujah. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, he's telling them, he's commending them for applying the principles of God, for seeking God, for not just accepting Christ and then just saying, I'm done, but accepting Christ and practicing the principles of God in their lives, the way of God in their lives. And this is what you and I need to adapt into our lives, and we need to work it out. He says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Saints of God, God is not finished with you yet. He is not finished with us yet. He wants to use us. He wants to mold us and shape us into his image. He wants to give us wisdom, and so that we can follow the directions of God and the principles of God, so that we can overcome the obstacles of the enemy. Satan is strategizing against us, but we need to arise in the Spirit of God. We need to allow the glory of God to consume us, to enable us to overcome. We're crying out to God in various situations and circumstances. God, stir up your power and come save us. Come deliver me. Give me a way out. Give me a way to overcome the strategies of the enemy, that I might be victorious in my life, that I might experience the stirring of God and maintain my potency, my strength, my power, my ability to do what is right in the sight of God. Even though the world is trying to shake me, people try to shake me, I will not be shaken, but I will be stirred by the hand of the Lord so that I can experience God in the fullness of his glory, in the image of his glory, in the power of God, enabling me to prevail beyond the times. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
And oh, yeah. Man out of that grave. Hallelujah. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name.
God, I pray that you are operating in the fullness of the glory of God. That no matter what's going on around you, you would be able to endure the shaking and be able to allow it to stir you instead, so that the goodness of the Lord can be strengthened within you. I pray that the power of the Spirit of God would be imparted to you as you apply the principles of God in your life, so that his glory and his anointing would enable you to be strengthened, that you would be able to overcome whatever it is, the gara of the enemy who's trying to stir you up and bring you to a place of chaos and confusion, make you argumentative and want to stir up things and cause trouble. But you can bring out the Ur of God that lives within you, that will enable you to be victorious as you come to a realization that the Spirit of the Lord is with you, and that God is speaking, and he is able to give you the directions that you need so that you can be victorious in God. Saints of God, you might be stirred, but don't be shaken. You might be stirred, but don't be shaken. Allow the glory of the Lord to sustain you and keep you and enable you to overcome, so that you too can prevail beyond these times. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen your people, enable us to overcome, so that as we go out of these doors, we go fortified, strengthened, enabled by the Spirit of the Lord to do all that you have called us to do as we practice the ways of the Lord and avoid the strategies of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo!